Welcome to Granite PR's 8th annual Aberdeen Houston Gateway and to our brand new all-digital format, which will further foster links between these global energy hubs. We are delighted that technology has enabled this exciting new development in the events evolution, and we look forward to helping you to forge and grow connections during these turbulent and challenging times ahead. It's Tina Constant here, and I am very pleased to welcome Andy Grieve, owner of Hemco and founder of GTech. Andy, how are you this lovely day?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Now, hey, you know, Andy, I thought a beautiful place to start, because you have got such a big story, is to find out a little bit about how you ended up going from Scotland to living in the beautiful state of Texas. How did that happen?
Well, first of all, it's a very smart move by Brett and his team doing this pre-recorded podcast, as they've been able to edit and cut us off in advance. Sometimes I tend to go on a little bit too much. But I've also confused some at this event in previous years by opening in Doric.
Oh, do it.
Yeah. But we did a Dundee Gateway last year, and they couldn't even understand me. But for diver, I'm a chuchter fae Durras, just outside Bunkry, and when I come out here, I had to speak an awful lot slower. Now, you've no idea the trouble I've gotten into ordering drive-through and takeaways here.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
But I moved here with my wife and two young kids 15 years ago, and the plan was to stay for 1 year. Uh-huh. The idea was to merge my first business, Hemco, with another UK company that had set up here and was doing very well. The merger was a disaster, but we decided to stay to do business on our own and just stayed, and we became dual citizens 5 years ago.
And so the whole family went across?
Yes, I had a 4 year old and a 2 year old and a 4 month old.
Oh, good. And that's a challenge.
It was a bit of an upheaval for a start, but we always thought about it as being temporary, but we just grew into it, and here we are still here.
Beautiful. And so once you decided to stay, was that then the birth of the business there, or did it take a while before you decided what to do?
No, we were determined to make Houston the hub of our center of gravity of the Hemco business. A lot of our customers' headquarters were here, so it seemed natural. It meant that because I was here, the center of gravity of the business drifted more from North Sea over to the Gulf of Mexico here, but we were still we still have an office in the UK, a small office in Singapore, and we can quite easily do business from all those three offices. But in 2010, after we had a couple of good years, we committed to buying some land and building our own office and workshop. Mm-hmm. Now, being a foreign immigrant, though, it was a big challenge. So from all that difficult experience, we decided to be more ambitious and build the place significantly larger than we needed. And that was the start of the GTech Innovation Center. The concept
just,
was...
Just so that people understand, if they don't know the whole story, can you describe what the GTech Innovation Center is about? What does it do?
Well, because of our challenges, I felt that there needed to be an easy landing pad for businesses trying to relocate and start just like ourselves. So it's a co-working industrial space, basically. We had 48,000 square feet, air-conditioned workshop, and an office space. So even without going through all the trouble of getting your credit, looking at taking on lease or whatever, we could take people in just instantly. No long-term lease, can be in as little as 3 months, 6 months, even 1 month. They can come in and use the facilities until they get their feet and understand how the market works and make longer-term plans for themselves. So we're just service industrial space, but of course we also provide business support and effectively allow people to get into business quicker than they would otherwise, or quicker than it did for us.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody almost just has an idea and they want to test it out in a US market, this is the kind of person who would come to you?
Well, they could. I mean, we've, for example, we've got some equipment from a Norwegian company in our facility at the moment, and it's been here for a while. They just allow their customers to come and visit. We show them. We take care of that visit. So they effectively have a presence here without having any overhead or any personnel over mm-hmm. from Norway. So they're effectively using our facility as their own.
Right. Oh, so are they also, so is it their team coming across, or are they employing local people as well?
No, what they do is we take care of anything small that they need done to the equipment, mm-hmm. and they organize their customers to come along and see it, and we'll show it to them. And then occasionally they'll drop over from Norway. So it's speculative for them. They still don't have the business really running, but they're managing to have a presence without the overhead. Oh, and that's the easy start. So it's they're cutting their financial risk, and but still able to say that we have equipment in Houston.
That's actually quite amazing. What you've if tell me if I'm getting the picture right in my head. What you're creating for people is for companies in Europe is or anywhere in the world really. I would imagine is a place to develop almost like a showcase, which you would then look after, maintain, and be the interface with their customers over there without them having to travel, build infrastructure, move. And if the market works, then they can make a decision based on real information. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
And, man, that's awesome.
Exactly right.
And, wow, okay.
And what it means is that they can set up faster. One of the big challenges about being here and setting up is getting your credit. I think it's easier now because credit can be transferred, but mm-hmm. it's a huge issue starting, and you just have to use cash, and that can be a big challenge on its own. So the time and the challenges just trying to set the business up mm-hmm. is wasted time from. Yeah. Doing business. So we're trying to provide that ready-made infrastructure to allow people to start immediately and test the market before, as you said, they need to make any real commitments and set up the business in the full extent that it needs to be.
Wow, because they could honestly test stuff. They can test advertising campaigns from as small as the copy that they use for their customers. They can test everything before committing to moving.
I think the important thing about Houston is, and if you want to build business in Houston, just coming over every 2-3 months, dropping around to see your customers, it doesn't hack it. They like to see that you have a presence and that you're committed. Mm-hmm. And our facility can allow people to have that. And like I said, test the water, but their customers still can see the equipment and come and see it. So exactly, it's like a showcase. Well, part of our building, we've got two large training and meeting rooms, and one of our workshops is set up so that people's equipment can be brought in. They can take their customers into the big room. They can teach them, train them, see them, and then go out and look at the equipment. And that can be hired for a week at a time, for example. And then we had one company in last week doing a proof of concept related to decontamination. And so they came in, used the facility for a day, got their photographs, proved their concept, and without having their own facility.
Now, I'm going to ask a question that is maybe me stepping into just fantasy fairyland here, right? But say I'm an organization that needs that kind of service, but what I also want is for my branding to be on your building, even though I am not physically there. What is the chance of that happening?
Yes, if you commit to space inside, the branding will be on the building.
Yes.
So we do virtual office. We can do a virtual office and mail service, but certainly if people make the commitment to lease actual workshop space for a reasonable time, then of course they can have branding.
So what is the typical type and size of company that works with you?
Well, I mean, we've had companies like Hewlett Packard were using our facility to temporary store some big mobile data centers that were delayed from a desert casino project, believe it or not. And they took their equipment in, and we looked after it. We just maintained it while it was there, and it was supposed to be a 3-month storage project, but it ran into 18 months because of continuous delay. And then we had a manufacturing company from UK. They came over, used our facility to build and start marketing their product. And there, we've an offshore operations business from Norway were in with us for quite a while. They wanted some space for 6 weeks to do some refurbishment of some equipment, but landed up staying with us for 2.5 years. They could justify having their own place, but they didn't want the financial risk and the long-term commitment. So they simply just varied the amount of space, office space and workshop space, as their operations rose and fell according to the market. And so they loved the flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we've been talking so far about companies and organizations, family strikes me as something pretty important to you. So when individuals want to come across, can you work with individuals as well if they just want to test the waters and see what's what?
Well, of course. I curiously had a long discussion with an MD over at Offshore Europe last year who wanted to move one of his team, and so we spent a lot of time with employment and all the individual benefits required. But what I was expressing to him, the most important thing is happy wife, happy life.
Okay.
You were saying, happy transferee, happy family.
That's right. And I can just suddenly see all the women in the world saying, excuse me, steady.
I can assure you there are many moves have failed because there was not enough effort put into the family side of things, because absolutely, it's your schooling, it's your housing, it's the immigration, it's a missing family, a lot of usual things that you would experience with an overseas transfer. But it is very different here, but it grows on you very quickly if you provided you think things through. So I would say that any business strategy does need to involve get that transferee and their family over here to try it out for a little while, just so that it's a large shock. And like I said, even down to driving, people take the mobility for granted. Houston is a massive place. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you realize that you're not supposed to drive over here longer than a couple of months on a foreign license, you've got to reset your driving test. Yeah. And that was one of the most terrifying things that I've ever done here. Mm-hmm. When you think about the ring road around Houston being 90 miles long, the new ring road that's being completed is 190 miles long. You start getting a scale of, you can't cram lots of meetings and lots of things in one day, even though the oil business is pretty much concentrated on the west. But when you think also about Interstate 10 that runs from Florida to California, 2,500 miles virtually straight through, it passes through the middle of Houston. And at the busiest point, it gets up to 26 lanes wide.
And how many? And say that number again.
26 lanes wide.
26 lanes wide of traffic.
Yes.
Okay, carry on.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So you've 13 lanes either way. Wow. And of course, undertaking is the thing. So it takes a bit of used to, a bit of getting used to. But once you're there, it's easy to get. It's difficult to get lost in Houston because everything's northeast, southwest. Yeah. But honestly, I find it easy to get around. I'm getting lost more in Aberdeen now than I do in Houston.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You know, I tell you what, just as you're talking about the sizes, there is a graphic of a slide pack you sent through, and we're going to add it to the show notes, where you had the two images, one of Grampian, with I can't remember the numbers across the top, and then one of the ring roads in Houston. And Grampian is only slightly bigger than the width of that ring road.
Oh, yeah, that was not great. Well, when you look at the ring road, it's 55 miles from east to west. Wow. And Grampian, at its widest point, is 70.
I know. Oh, my gosh. We're very small. Okay. And so, I mean, was your choice to go to Houston just because of oil and gas, or was there something else that attracted you to the city?
No, we were looking at overseas expansion back in 2003, and we were looking at taking a break before the kids went to school and going to either Singapore or Houston. Mm-hmm. We'd everything set up to go to Singapore, but there was a couple other factors came into play, and we decided to focus on Houston. So again, it was just going to be enough to come over here, set the business up, and go back again. Mm-hmm. But it just grew in us from over here, and seemed natural place to be. And yes, doing business is different, mm-hmm. but for us. A lot of the headquarters were here, and it was a good move. But we wouldn't have stayed had the family not liked it, you know. So we still maintained our flexibility. So we had that luxury, I suppose, of choice. But our choice was to stay.
Perfect, perfect. Now, if you imagine the audience who are listening to this podcast, predominantly for the Gateway event itself will be energy related, but of course this podcast, anybody could be listening to it. So if you are speaking to somebody who has never really imagined that moving their company to Houston is possible, what would you say to them?
Well, if you'd asked me that 15 years ago, I would have said, well, it's very challenging. But now, and certainly over the last 5 years, I would say, there's been a tremendous amount of effort from various organizations in Houston to develop Houston as an innovation hub, business friendly, business startup, and there is a tremendous amount of support available to any new business. And I don't just mean business startups that have just got a new idea and looking for venture capital, for example, but companies that want to relocate, particularly starting at the Greater Houston Partnership level, but all the way down to the Small Business Administration, which is a tremendous support, and free mentors, you know, people that have retired from business but give their time willingly and gladly to companies. There are many organizations like that for support, and of course Scottish Development. So there's if you've got something different, something new to offer the market, then don't be scared about, well, how do I do it in Houston, because there's plenty of support.
When I think in terms of risk, what would you say? Say somebody does have a pretty cool, a pretty new idea. What is their greatest risk of making any kind of move?
It depends. Well, it depends if they as an individual are moving, or whether they're going to do it through employing someone through here. Yeah. The biggest thing you've got to do is make sure that you're budgeting enough to keep it going for long enough, because it can be more expensive here. I mean, when you think about personal health insurance, for example, the way that employment is done is different. This is an at-will, it's called an at-will state, which means that they can hire and fire, no mandatory employments. But health insurance is not nationalized health insurance. So instead of paying an employer's national insurance contribution to the government, the employer takes on a private healthcare scheme and gives that to the employees. And the same accounts for business owners. But it can be an unexpected cost, and But when you work it all out, that it's still more effective and cost effective than you'd imagine. But I think the biggest risk is just underestimating the time and effort that it takes to understand how the business is done here. I always speak about taxation. Mm-hmm. Taxation is so much more complicated here. I mean, you've got in the UK, businesses have corporation tax, they have VAT and rates. Mm-hmm. But when here, for example, you've got federal corporate tax, state corporate tax. You've got a franchise tax in Texas, which is a tax on the privilege of doing business in Texas. You've got sales tax, equivalent to VAT, but it depends on which county and city you're selling the products in. You've got property taxes, which is equivalent to rates, but you also have business personal property tax, which means you're paying a tax on everything that you own. So everything that you own, you turn the building upside down, everything that falls out, you pay a yearly tax on what you own. And it takes a tremendous amount of accounting effort. Even though you can appeal property taxes every year. But thankfully, there was a major change in 2017 regarding corporation tax. Mm-hmm. Corporation tax was as high as 34% in the US, which was very tough and for us in a start compared to the UK tax, corporation tax. But 2017, with the new administration, dropped it down to 21%. So there's a much more level playing field. And it's keeping company headquarters in the US. A lot of corporations moved their headquarters to Ireland, the UK, Holland in previous years. But that was because of the high corporation tax. So I would just say that's only one example of getting up the learning curve. And one of the biggest risks is always underestimating that learning curve and taking good advice.
Well, I guess that's where you come in. So the learning curve you will help with, because people don't know what they don't know. And
that's right.
What you would do is help people just shine the light.
Well, I mean, of course, I mean, groups like SDI and Great Region Partnership, there is a lot of advice there. I mean, I enjoy giving people the benefits of our experience. I mean, it's always best to learn from your own experience, but it's so much cheaper and quicker learning from someone else's.
Isn't it just, that's beautiful. You got to put that in a poster. Andy, now you've lived there for a little while. All right. Now, so let's kind of put business aside a little bit. And you've got somebody who's thinking, right, I've been on holiday to the States. Yeah, it's great. But now I am quite determined. I'm going to move there. I want to live there for a family coming across the bugs, the beasts, the landscape. What is your experience and what would you tell people about the actual country?
Well, I mean, in Aberdeen, you really only have midges and wasps to worry about. But here is a variety and you just can't go walking through the woods like you would. So we've had everything in the yard, venomous snakes, spiders, the gators, the bobcats, but a couple of months ago at the office, within a month, we caught a live tarantula and a live scorpion.
Oh, I've been bitten by one of those. I feel that.
Oh man! Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
So you just tend to that actually tends to curtail a few activities that you would normally do in the UK, but you get used to that.
You do, I guess, just the natural care. You don't just decide to go camping one night.
No, and you know all of that's as a consequence of the weather, yeah. And of course the weather is hot. It's funny how the locals over here who brought up in it just hate the summers. You know, everyone gets excited because winter's coming.
Yeah, that's and, the other way around here, right?
Absolutely, but I mean, folk like us, the novelty still hasn't worn off. So even though it's a bit hot and sticky in the summer, that's what swimming pools and air conditioning's for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what are you complaining about?
that's my philosophy, yes.
That's brilliant. And, All right, Andy, you're amazing. Are there any final words of advice or ideas you would like to leave with people today?
Well, just really bear in mind the importance of the immigration laws here. It's really important that you don't think, well, I'm going to send someone over to work for 3 months, for example. It's okay to come over in business and have some business meetings, but I know one company, for example, sent over an inspector here for a project, and so he was doing the inspection for 3 months, and then the job was going to continue. So he decided, well, I'll go out to the country, I'll go down to Mexico, and come back in again to get my other 3 months. He was stopped at the border, and now he's banned permanently.
Permanently?
Yes, that was 12 years ago that happened to him. He's still trying to find a way to come back to the country to see his relatives that he's got here.
Oh, my gosh.
So don't, I would say, be very sure that you treat the immigration correctly. Mm-hmm. And follow the right rules. There are so many different routes to get in here through immigration, but take care. And then of course, part of that immigration, when we became citizens 5 years ago, we took the oath for 2,500 others and swore our allegiance, but we get to keep both passports. But one of the things that you really realize when you're over here is the country is driven by the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And everyone hears about the second Constitution, the right to bear arms. And that takes a lot of getting used to. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the police are fully armed, but it's legal to walk around here with a gun on your side. Yeah. And that takes a lot of getting used to. But I understand the principle behind it, and I respect it. I respect it, but it's very alien and takes a lot of getting used to. And so a lot of those things in the personal life take a bit of getting used to. The schooling is much different, but they're so very patriotic over here too, and it's so interesting to see how many times at meetings everyone stands up and does the Pledge of Allegiance.
Really? You see it.
Absolutely. Every council meeting, every formal meeting, everyone stands up and states the Pledge of Allegiance to the U.S. and then the Pledge of Allegiance to Texas. But all big events, national anthems always played. The military are always asked to stand up and get applauded, and so the U.S. Constitution is the longest existing constitution in the world, believe it or not, and they still stick very strongly to it. It's a strong set of principles. So that kind of patriotism and community is good. It's very nice to see and be part of.
I was just going to say, because I think even if you're just a visitor or just a tourist, you're actually not excused from that, right? If everybody else is standing, you're standing too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But it's such an invigorating experience. It's quite it can be very emotional at times, it's good. And again, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, religious freedom, and church attendance is massive here. Mm-hmm. And there are so many churches, and there are so many new churches being built all the time. And it's a very different approach, because it's the community. Mm-hmm. Now, some immigrants like myself, some people are not so used to that extent of religion and being at church every weekend. So, but it's there for whoever wants it.
Yeah. Now, I guess community is one of the big things, because of all the travels I've done in the States, is the friendliness, even though they might be armed. Yes, that did worry us somewhat, but we never once felt unwelcome in any part of the US we traveled, not even once.
And that's absolutely it. We feel very safe here, but they love the accent.
Yeah.
And
especially if you go Doric on them, what are you going to do?
Oh, that's impossible. I say we it doesn't matter what store you go into, you still get openly love your accent, and everyone knows their roots because they know the history of the movement from the UK. So it's people are very, very friendly.
There you go. Oh, you sound so happy there. It's really good to find that. It's beautiful. So Andy, for people who are moving across and want to work with you, how do they get in touch with you?
Just give me a phone.
Give me a phone. That's so refreshing and easy. Yeah, pick up the phone.
Yeah. That's always easier. But I mean, all our details are on our websites, which I think is going out in the material. But it's always good to talk to someone who's serious about making a commitment to doing business here, because many people think, yeah, I love the idea, but very few people bite the bullet and do it, because I think it can be daunting. But don't let it be daunting. And if we can help, we will.
Yeah, because I think I loved what you said just there. I'm finding it very difficult to end our conversation, so we're going to carry on. Because I love what you just said, this is people who are serious about doing business there. But part of the magic of what you provide is, even if somebody is only half serious with an idea, they can test it without fully committing. And only when they have all the information, then they can go, right, now I'm serious, and actually step in.
Yes, that sums it up.
You don't have to have all your ducks in the row before they can come and talk to you.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's an easy landing. That's what we're trying to offer.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. An easy landing from the world into Houston.
Yes.
Thank you, Andy. Well, I hope that the knowledge sharing that we've enjoyed together in this session will educate and inspire in equal measure, and that these virtual links will be the stepping stones to another connection in the weeks and months ahead. So thank you for joining us on this transatlantic adventure. Stay safe, and we hope to welcome you to another Gateway event very, very soon. Andy, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a real treat talking to you.
Thank you, Tina. Pleasure.